Here last Sunday night, you'll remember that we looked at the question of anger and the problem with anger and why it's dangerous and the causes of anger. And I had two people come to me and say we need more discussion on that. And I thought I'd just speak another time on anger, but instead of making it a long, drawn-out thing that only half of you will get, I thought we'd make it seminar form. I'll give you a sort of chat. I'm going to speak to you about anger now, and then we're going to give you a chance while you have tea to write down questions about the things I say, and then we can discuss it further. Shall we just pray? Lord, I pray that you bless this time we're together. We've gathered in your name, and this is a church service. Lord, we're not here to be entertained. We somehow want to embrace you in a spiritual sense. And I pray that you help me, Lord, to be clear in teaching, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that I'll be faithful to your word. And I pray, Lord, that people will be stirred to ask questions and discuss things that might not normally be discussed. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I've got a little talk. And I give the title of my talk, How to Be an Angry Christian. How to Be an Angry Christian. Does that surprise you? What if I told you one of the problems with the modern church is we're not angry enough? We're supposed to sometimes be angry. Disagree? Remember Jesus when he came into the holy temple and he saw the people bartering and buying and selling. What did he do? Now, it doesn't tell us in so many words he got angry, but it was obvious he was raving angry. He whips them out. He chases them. He turns over tables. He's angry that God's honor has been so abused. Jesus got angry. He must have been angry to call Pharisees whitewashed tombs and things like that. He must have been an angry Lord. Do you know God himself is an angry God? Jonathan Edwards' famous sermon it's gone down in history as the most effective sermon ever preached. Thousands of people were converted upon the hearing of this sermon. Title, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And wow, you know, for 21st century standards, it's rather grisly and scary. Fire and brimstone. But God is an angry God. If you don't believe that, you don't know your Bible. The last day when Christ comes is called the day of God's wrath, or gay anger. Anger is a divine attribute. Did you know that? Anger is indignation at anything that offends perfection. So we're supposed to sometimes be angry. And tonight I'd like to look at a passage where David, God's servant, got very angry. And his anger produced something to the glory of God. 1 Samuel 17. And I'm just going to read verse 36. I think what I'll do is I'll explain the context. And then we'll read verse 36 of 1 Samuel 17. The Israelites were at war with the Philistines, as they usually were. And the Philistines get the better of the Israelites and they corner them. And they have a big 9-foot giant warrior on their side called Goliath. You all know the story. Now the Israelites are cringing. They don't know what to do. And they're cornered. And then Goliath comes out and he begins to blaspheme the Israelites' God and to mock the people of Israel and mock everything they hold precious. And the Israelites are just cringing away. They don't know what to do. No one has the guts to fight this huge giant. And then David comes along. He's bringing lunch for his brothers. And he hears the blasphemy and the mocking of God. And this is what his response is. Verse 36. 1 Samuel 17:36. He speaks to Saul. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. Do you realize? Here's a man who's indignant. He's a young man, but he's angry. And his anger obviously has motivated him to say, I'm going to do something about this. Notice, it's the God who has been blasphemed by this uncircumcised Philistine that awakes this sense of indignation. His arrogance, this 9-foot giant, nine foot giant. He is moved to act upon his outrage. He wants to do something about it, and he's prepared to put his life on the line. I mean, he must have been pretty raving angry to stand against a 9-foot giant. This we would describe as godly anger. And I suggest tonight that we all sometimes ought to get angry in this way. One of the failures of our 21st century Western church is we've become so soppy, so sugar-coated, so eager to make everyone like us, we've lost this sense of holy indignation. We're hearing now about these transgender people pushing, and we're all just saying, oh, well, we love them anyway. Wonder what David would do. How can we not get outraged and disturbed at the blasphemous, outrageous things that are happening in God's world? There are movies that are promoting immorality, celebrating it. There are young people being brainwashed by filthy songs, blasphemous comedians. I watched a comedian for about 5 minutes the other night. Disgusting. And the glory of God is a joke. Abortion. I can't believe they're talking about abortion at 9 months. That's unbelievable. Do you know that's what they're talking about now in America? And that would be killing babies. Just if they're not born, you can kill them. You know, the moment they're born, it's murder. Child abuse. It's just all over the place. It's rampant. Exploitation of so much variety. How on earth can people who truly love the goodness and the purity of God not be raised to righteous indignation and anger? Why are Christians not like David, outraged and willing to fight? I can imagine what you think. Well, we don't do that sort of thing. We're Christians. We love everyone. What's your concept of love? Is it some soppy emotionalism where we just go around hugging everyone and, you know, kissing the Nazis and all the rest of it? Surely the deeper you love, the more you'll be prepared to stand up and defend what you love. I saw a movie a long time ago about a bear, a mother bear, and her cubs were in danger, and I wouldn't want to be in that mother bear. Surely the things that you love are worth fighting for, even worth dying for. David, in our text, was prepared to fight, and obviously he knew it was possible he could die for the honor of God's name that he knew was being blasphemed. He was angry enough to fight and possibly even die for the honor of God. Now you may say, oh, but that was in Bible days. We don't hate anymore. We don't get angry. We shouldn't get those raw emotions anymore. Let me just give you a couple of examples of recent people, relatively recent, who were angry, very, very angry, and willing to fight righteously. William Wilberforce, heard of him? He was the man who was probably 90% responsible for the abolition of slavery in England. It was legal up until 1833 to have slaves in your home, and they were not considered human. They were property. And William Wilberforce, as a young boy, witnessed a slave being severely beaten and people standing around and laughing, and it so shook him, he wrote this in his diary: "I detest that vile institution with all my being." You think this guy's riled up a bit? He's angry. And Wilberforce dedicated his entire life. He actually burned himself. He died about 56. He burned himself out passionately just for this one cause, to set men free in England and the colonies. And he fought with everything he had. He had a reputation in Parliament. He was a member of Parliament, and he had a reputation. Whenever he spoke, it was going to be about slavery. He just had a one-track mind. And in 1833, he eventually won his argument. He didn't live much longer after that. He burned out. But it was his rage and his anger against this horrible institution that he had every right to be angry about, his hatred of that cruelty, that brought about what he achieved. I think of William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army. He, as a young child, witnessed a lot of terrible things happening in his own childhood because of alcoholism. And he saw broken homes, ruined lives, abandoned wives and children again and again. Remember, in 19th century England, gin was like water. Everybody drank. And most working class families were just decimated with this horrible alcoholism. And he wrote, this is something that he wrote, he said, "My second greatest passion is my hatred for the abuse of alcohol. My first great passion is the love of Jesus Christ." He loved Jesus, and that was his passion. But the second passion in his life was his hatred to the abuse of alcohol. And he opened rehabilitation centres. He preached passionately in pubs, bringing many drunks to Christ. He opened up care homes for abandoned women and children. He did so much good in this country when it came to alcoholism. And as he said, it was his hatred and his anger against alcoholism that drove him to do that. Sometimes anger is a good thing. It can drive us to doing godly things that we otherwise wouldn't do. And I think sometimes in this country, and remember, you can have the floor just now, and let me have it if you don't agree. But I think one of the problems is in this country, the church is pathetically soft. I mean, the church that represents government, you know, the Anglican Church is a joke. Come on, they won't get angry about anything, apart from, you know, if we say something that's politically incorrect, according to them. So we should be angry. There's such a thing as righteous anger. But let me just repeat what I said last week very briefly. When we are angry, there are three things we need to watch out for. We must remember that we're sinners. When we get angry, we must be very, very vigilant, because we are, Thomas Manton, the Puritan, put it like this. He said, human beings are like barrels of gunpowder. Don't take them too close to naked flame, it's stupid, they're going to blow up. You've all had experiences, haven't you, where you got so angry, you've done things and said things that you regretted. When we're angry, do not sin. Don't allow yourself to blow. Realize you've got a right to be angry, but make sure you're filled with God's Spirit when you're angry. Don't be sinfully angry. In the light of that, secondly, we are not God. Sometimes when we're angry, we're tempted to punish the people we're angry with or to pass judgment. We have no right to do that. We're not God. God alone has the prerogative to judge and punish. We can be very angry at people for the evil they do. We can be very angry at the terrible blasphemies we see around, but we've got no right to lash out in judgment or punish anyone. Leave that to God. But we have every right in anger to defend God's honour and speak truth. And I think we're not doing it. And thirdly, we need to recognize sometimes God allows outrageous things to happen to test us and prove us. And we need to face that. We mustn't despair in our anger. So, how can I be an angry Christian? It's a good question. How can I be an angry Christian? I would say by knowing the difference between righteous and sinful anger. Sometimes we're so afraid of being angry because we know we're sinful. We'll never be angry, and sometimes we should be angry. We should be angry in this day and age at the way things are going. What was that Northern Irish fellow? Come on, I've forgotten his name now. Ian Paisley. You know what? I admire that man. I really admire him. He unashamedly spoke up for his faith and he stood on a lot of toes. But hey, the church was thriving in his days. Well, you can ask questions now. You can tell me you disagree. But do you know the difference between righteous and sinful anger? Can you discern and are you able to make that distinction? And can you be righteously angry yourself? Or are you afraid it might spill over into sinful anger? David was, in that reading I shared now, righteously angry. And we know it was right he was angry, and he destroyed the giant Goliath because he was driven to it in his outrage. God used that anger. But do you know, there's another passage I'm going to briefly read where David didn't get angry, where he should have got angry. But he knew the difference between righteous and unrighteous anger. Turn with me to 2 Samuel 16. And we'll look at verse 5. 2 Samuel 16. As King David approached Bahurim, a man of the same clan as Saul's family came out from there. His name was Shimei, son of Gera. And he cursed as he came out and pelted David and all the king's officials with stones. Though all the troops and the special guard were on the right, David's right and left. And as he cursed, Shimei said, get out, you man of blood, you scoundrel. Well, I won't go on and on, but I want to remind you, he's a king, this man. You know, and this fellow's throwing stuff at him and calling him a scoundrel. Well, the guards decide, let's just read it, verse 9. And Abishai said to Zabish, son of Zariah, said to the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over and cut off his head. Well, that's how they sorted out their problems then. But the king said, what do you and I have in common, you sons of Zariah? If he is cursing because the Lord said to him, curse David, who can ask, why do you do this? Just leave it at there. He saw that God had allowed it to happen. David realized he deserved this cursing. If you know the rest of the story, he'd done a lot of wrong. And he knew this man had a right to do what he was doing. He was angry. And he left it in God's hands. You see, David realized there's a time when you should be angry. And he was angry with Goliath and he had every right to be. But there are times when you shouldn't be. Because God might have something else in mind. And we all need to see the difference between righteous and sinful anger. And I'd like to just close before we have our tea and then you can ask your questions and all the elders will be here. I sometimes think we've become so soft. Such pushovers. People can get away with anything nowadays and we don't have the guts to stand up and fight. We don't get outrageous because somehow we think it's not the Christian thing to do. Our God is an angry God. He is an angry God and he'll prove it on Judgment Day. Christ was very angry at the hypocrisy of the Pharisees and the, you know, all the corruption of the church, and he was very angry at the buying and selling in the temple. David showed that his anger led to the defeat of the Philistines. And I'd like to suggest, and I'd like it to be a time of questions and discussion, are we maybe not angry anymore, and maybe that's one of our problems? The dignity and the honour of God doesn't seem to matter. We don't feel it offended the way maybe we should. I may be totally wrong. I'm asking you as my brothers and sisters, shall we talk about it? We'll have tea, and then in about 5-10 minutes, we'll talk. Thanks.